And Andy's just very, very, well, you'll find out in a minute. He's just lovely. And God sent him to Bethel. He's in his third year. For those that remember Ben Fitzgerald that came with Danny Hegan last year, I think it was, Ben Fitzgerald came for a Sunday night, blew in a two years ago. Wow, we're getting old. 2 years ago. So he blew into town, blew out, and we just had, it was a real night of God just, you know, having a good time with us. And Andy interns on a team with Ben. He's been traveling the world. And he just has a real heart for Jesus and people. And I think you're going to enjoy him. My wife and I have enjoyed the last few hours just getting to know him more and more. And every minute we just fall deeper in love with this guy. So I wondered if you would give him a flame tree welcome and honor him and the Lord that's in him.
Hey, wow, it's an honor to be here. Sorry, I've got so many things up here. I'm having a bit of technical issues today, so I just brought everything with me. I've got stuff on my phone, my computer, my iPad, and my Bible. That's the best part. Oh, I'm just feeling so full right now. So full of Jesus. I just, as soon as I walked into this place, I just felt the intimacy of God here. And I know the songs just kind of represented that as you were singing, just this intimacy with the Father. And I felt it as soon as I came in, and intimacy with the Father always creates identity. And identity always flows the kingdom, you know. And once we have our identity in Christ, it always flows from there. And I just felt this beautiful just push in for intimacy, and I feel like the Lord is welcoming you into greater levels of intimacy in here, and I feel like that's where you will overflow. I've been hearing all these amazing stories of the overflow of the power of the gospel. I've been hearing about salvations, healings, you know, the kingdom just outbreaking, and I feel like it's coming out of that place of intimacy and overflow. So I saw when we were worshiping, I saw all these angels just ministering around the room, and I feel like there's this really gentle presence in the room tonight where these angels are going around ministering. And I would just encourage you to keep an eye. I feel like there's going to be healing in this room tonight, and I don't even know if we're going to have to minister to it. I'm really not sure what's going to happen. I feel like God's just going to do something, and I might get ambushed, so who knows? Who knows? All my technology is going crazy, so I don't know what tonight's going to hold, but I feel like God is doing something, and I feel like that's what's up. I was just telling Dave, this trip has been incredible. We have just been seeing an outbreak of the Holy Spirit. We've been seeing crazy stuff happen. You know, we've even had planes turn around on us. We were flying out of Melbourne to go to Sydney, and the plane turned around just as we got to Sydney, and they said, no, you're going back to Melbourne. There's a storm just after appearing like that. You need to go back. And we've just been seeing all this stuff where God is just drawing us into him, and we're seeing incredible things. And this is happening here in your country. This is happening here in your city. And I recognize a few faces. A few of you guys have been to some of our meetings, and God has just been doing stuff, and it's different each night. It's beautiful. And so I just encourage you to keep an eye on if you have any physical ailments in your body, I just encourage you to keep an eye on that, because I feel like the Lord is going to minister to that and touch people as we're here tonight. I have a random question. Is there a Chris here or a Julie? Or is there anybody who knows Chris or Julie? Are you Julie? Yeah? Are you Chris? Okay, yeah. Well, I've got a word for you too, so that's great. This is perfect. I felt like there was something on prophecy here tonight. And Julie, I saw your name earlier. And I was praying, and I saw your name earlier. And the Lord said that you're entering into new seasons of rest and new seasons of peace in him. And I feel like he's drawing you into new levels of knowing what rest looks like. You know, it's the first thing that humankind did. God made man, and the next day they rested. You know, it was great. I try and always work out a rest, but I feel like the Lord is going to teach you about rest, and I just see this peace around you, and I feel people who are heavy burdened coming to you and experiencing the fullness of rest, experiencing the fullness of the peace of the Father. And I feel like out of that place, you're just going to speak truth into people's lives, and they're just going to experience the fullness of God. But I don't know if you've been feeling kind of a heavy burden or not, but yeah, I just feel like the Lord is lifting that from you. I feel like he's lifting that from you, and he's bringing rest into your life and bringing peace in every area of your life. And I just see it dropping on you now. I think you might be feeling it right now, but I just see that peace resting on your shoulders and that peace falling on you right now. So I just bless that in your life, and I bless that as you walk through the shopping malls and as you walk through the streets, people are feeling heavy burdened, and people who are feeling, oh, we'll just be drawn to you. I see you standing in you know, the lines to get your groceries and stuff, and people just unloading their heart to you, just going, oh, all this stuff is happening in my life. I need help. And I see you just having the answer. I see keys over your life, but those keys come from rest. So, yeah, bless you with that. Chris back here, yeah. For you, I just see revelation. I just see, I felt like the Lord was speaking to, let me just listen for a second. Part of this is for you too, but I have more. But I see that the Lord is releasing, I feel like you've got a prophetic anointing on your life, and I feel like the Lord is going to speak through you clearer and louder than ever before, and I see you hearing him clearer than ever before. I see you taking this step where you're going into new levels, but that takes risk, and I feel like the Lord is giving you a grace for risk, and I feel like the grace is falling on your life, and that you're going to step out in greater levels where you will see risk. Just, they say it in Bethel, I don't like the way they say this, but they say risk is spelled, faith is spelled R-I-S-K, and I see that over your life, even though I don't like saying that one, but I just see you stepping out in faith and risk, and I see the Lord answering exactly where you are at, and that might even be in financial stuff as well as the prophetic, but I just see you stepping out. You're someone who's supposed to step out in God, and I just bless that in your life too, that you will just take greater steps of faith, and that the Lord is with you, the Lord will bless you, the Lord is behind you, and he's just all over you. So just listen to the greater whisper. I feel like you've already got that prophetic anointing, but there's a greater whisper because he's bringing you into greater levels of intimacy. So yeah, can you all understand me? I think my accent's got more American since being there for 3 years, but, and Chris, yeah, I actually saw you in worship. I was going to prophesy over you anyway, so that's good. The Lord is good. But I see truth over you. I just see it, truth written over your head. And I see it like that double-edged sword. You know, the word of God is like a double-edged sword. I'm saying it separates bone from marrow, spirit from soul. And I feel like you carry that, and I feel like your words carry truth. And I don't know if you've ever believed that they carry truth, but they do. And people need to hear what you have to say. And I see you speaking into situations, and your words carry such life that situations are going to change. Yeah, I want to share a testimony with you. It'll just take 2 minutes, and everybody can take this, but the spoken word of God is just so powerful. I met this guy, and he was about to commit suicide. He had tried committing suicide for maybe two or three times before, and he was just in this hopeless place. His girlfriend had left him. His car had broken down. He was homeless. He got fired from his job. He was addicted to drugs. The worst possible situation. This guy was going to end his life. And I just got this boldness over me. And I just spoke to him and I said, yeah, God's got a plan for you. And he's about to turn that all around in Jesus' name. And I just said that to him. And I just started praying for him. He started weeping and he felt the weight of it. And I saw him the next day. It was actually 3 days later, he shouted at me. He was like, Andy, it's me. I didn't recognize him. His whole face had changed. He said, it's my birthday today, and this is the best birthday I've ever had because my girlfriend came back to me. Someone gave me the money to get my truck fixed. I've got a place to live. I haven't done drugs since I saw you. I haven't felt these feelings since I saw you. I felt like truth came into my life, and I feel like that's what you carry. And I feel like I see you preaching. And I see you preaching to many, and I feel like that truth is just going to pierce people's hearts, and that even on the streets, you're going to get this boldness where you're just going to see a situation completely transformed and turned around, but you're going to have to step out and go, no, that's not what I know from up here. Don't look it down here, look it up here, you know, and I just bless you to just go into the deeper levels of the word. I feel like he's calling you into the deeper levels of the word, and there's a grace on that, and he's going to bring you into whole new revelations, and you're going to read things that you've already read before, and it's going to have a whole new meaning. Yeah. I bless you with that truth. Yeah, yeah. And for you over here, when I walked in, I didn't know you were the worship leader, but I saw breakthrough on you and a breaker anointing. And when I saw you up there, it's like, oh, I could feel it. I could feel the weight of what you carry, and I feel like you carry such freedom. And I also like that. I just see you messing with mindsets. I see mindsets that people have had for so long, and I see you just coming in like one of those jackhammers, and you're just like, it might take a few minutes, but you're just like, and you just break through every mindset that people have, and I see just this freedom and this breakthrough on you. When you were singing up there, I was like, oh, beautiful. He can release that in song too. So I just really feel like there's going to be times where you feel like you're just, I feel like there has been times, and there may be times where you feel like you're just going with it, and you're just kind of going with the flow and stuff, but you need to know that everything you do is powerful, and in everything you speak is powerful, and everything that you sing is powerful. And I feel like there's times where you're like, I just want to feel more of your presence, but I feel like you release presence whether you're feeling it or not, and I feel like the Lord's going to welcome you into greater levels of experience. I see you sitting in your room calling out for it, and I see like just this tingling coming down your arm and this tingling coming into your whole body, and you just getting hungrier and hungrier just for the Father, just for the presence, just for the beauty of his face. And I'm kind of going to share a little bit about that tonight, but I just see just you hungering after him and him going, yeah, here I am, here I am. So I feel like in the times past, where you haven't felt that, I feel like he's moved through you so powerfully, and you're going to go into this new level of feeling his embrace all the time, and you're going to see people feel that all around you. So, yeah, I mean, it's good stuff. We might break into that a little bit more later, but I'll go on to this first. if I can remember my password, sorry. That was my problem with Skype too earlier. I have a real issue with passwords. Oh, man. So, yeah, I'm Andy. I'm from Ireland. I'm slightly confused because I'm an Irish man living in America, traveling all over the world, standing here with you in Australia, engaged to an American who has a heart for Thailand. So I don't even know where I'm going to end up. I don't know what God has for me, but I do know one thing, that I just love seeing the body of Christ empowered, and I love seeing the body of Christ just move into the streets and bring this gospel outside the walls of the church and just bring it to the streets, because that's where people need it, you know? And so I know wherever I go, I'll be bringing that, you know, and I'm excited for that. I got engaged last week, actually. Yeah. It was amazing. It was crazy. God just totally provided, but I always wanted to get engaged in a hot air balloon, and it wasn't looking like it was going to happen. But someone rang me up and said, hey, I want to bless you. I know you've been wanting to propose, and I know you've had this dream proposal, so here's the money for it. And God just totally blessed me. So we got engaged. Then it was in Colorado in her hometown, and then I was home for 24 hours and I left for Australia. So it's been a whirlwind of a month. But it's been amazing. God's just really moving here. It's been incredible. We've been seeing signs and wonders just break out everywhere we go. And it's not just within the church. It's even in the clouds. We've been seeing, we did a conference last week with YWAM, and the newspapers, this day after we started the conference, put up this picture of the clouds. And in the clouds was this big square. So it was a cloudy sky. And in the middle of the sky was one big rectangle cutout, like a door. And in that was a rainbow. And they put it as, the doorway to heaven is open, or something along those lines. See, all of creation is singing of what God is doing right here, right now. We've been seeing, and that's exactly what we've been experiencing. We've been experiencing an open heaven right here. We've been experiencing people just get whacked in the Holy Spirit, getting healed, getting saved. Everywhere we've gone to, before we even made it to YWAM, we had two revival meetings. One was called Revival on a Plane, and the other was called Revival in the Supermarket. It was a free conference, and nobody knew they were invited, so it was even better. But we've just been traveling around with these radical revivalists who are just bringing the kingdom, and it's been just incredible. So what we've been doing here is we've been traveling with, have you Ben Fitzgerald, yeah? And have you heard of Todd White? Yeah, so we've been traveling together, and we have had a team of second years here too. And what we've been doing is we've been empowering people in evangelism. We've done two conferences, and we've been seeing them sent out to the streets. There's going to be 600 young people sent out to 50 something towns or cities in the next week, and this cloud was hovering over a couple of the towns and cities that these people are going to go to, and God's just breaking out. It's been incredible. So we've been seeing that. Then that was our first conference. At our second conference, right outside the door, a tree just went on fire. And I was like, well, if that's not a sign, I don't know what is. I go to Flame Tree next week. And and I felt like God was saying, so one of my friends that's traveling with us said, I feel like the body of Christ is getting lit up again. I feel like the oaks of righteousness are just getting set ablaze for everybody to see. And I feel like the church is just getting a new passion and a new hunger for God and for revival. And I was like, yeah, that's Flame Tree. They're getting that. And I honestly feel that. I feel like everything that has been shifting and going in this conference has been a lot happening. I feel like it's been released over here. I feel like the supernatural is going to new levels in this room. I feel like it's not even going to stick in this room. I feel like I saw kind of spiritual flames coming out of the roof of this church, and I feel like people are going to be drawn here. Dave was just telling me that was a 500 people came from all around the area to a barbecue here. I see people drawn to the flame in this place, to the hunger, to the intimacy in this place, and I just see this whole new outbreak of the spiritual, just the supernatural showing up in the natural in this place, you know. So. Yeah, I'm excited to hear what's going on in here, you know. So, but the important thing to realize with this, I've been seeing incredible stuff. I'll tell you one more story. Is this cool? Yeah. So, words of knowledge have been increasing too, and I want to release that over here too. But I was sitting on Ben's couch, and Ben's mum moves in the supernatural, but in the New Age movement. So she goes to all the New Age festivals and she brings the kingdom. She brings Jesus cards with her everywhere she goes. She is awesome. So she does readings, spiritual readings. I know that sounds out there, but God can redeem everything because he created everything. So I feel like he can move through anything. So she was doing this spiritual reading on this girl and she said, I don't know what it is, but I just see this white fluffy dog. Does that mean anything to you? This small white fluffy dog. And the lady goes, yes, it does. And she was like, what? What is it? She goes, my white dog died yesterday. So Ben's mom was like, oh. But she ministered, and this girl felt some sort of presence that she had never felt before. And she's like, I'm hungry for more of that. So Ben's mom goes, come to my house this day. There's going to be more spiritual readers there. That was us. She never told us. But so there's this knock on the door. We're just chilling, and this lady comes in, and she's amazing, but you can tell she's full of fear, full of it. She doesn't even want to look us in the eyes. So she comes in, and I just felt the presence of the gods, or presence of God, the gods, presence of God that was so gentle. It was just so gentle. I just felt his love and his compassion for her, and my focus wasn't here, it was here. I was like, God, and I just felt this love that he had for this lady. And all of a sudden, I just hear, she goes, well, will you tell me like what God thinks of me? And all of a sudden, I just hear three just pops into my head, and I was like, what was that? And he goes, it was the age that her whole life changed. And I was like, oh, wow. And I said to her, I said, God's telling you he's the way, the truth, and the life, and you've been searching down every path except for him, and every path has been a dead end. This all happened when you were three. Something happened in your life when you were three, and it wasn't God, but he wants to bring you back to that place so he can redeem it and bring you on his path, bring you on his way, bring you into his life. And she goes, how did you know this? She breaks down. It's because God knew her. It's nothing got to do with me. It's because God knew her. God loves her. God wanted to touch her heart. God wanted her to have an experience with him. And he whispers these little things to us, to tell us, to show others, you know? And this lady just got rocked, and he just started telling us stuff about it. He didn't tell us details because he always protects the heart, but he told us all these things that had twisted and shaped her life. And I felt like God was just releasing peace and hope over her. And I just spoke into her finances. I spoke into this stuff. And she gave her life to God, a new soul for the kingdom. And it was all just because God just wanted to speak to this lady, and he'll use any way to get there. And kind of what I wanted to talk about is just where all this comes from. I really felt like God just wanted me to share about that. All of this is the overflow of sonship. And it's really interesting that I felt just such an intimate kind of thing here, because I felt like God was really wanting to talk about sonship today. And that our identity isn't, I feel like you guys are moving into whole new levels of breakthrough in God, whole new miracles. And I felt like he was just saying, hey, just always keep your focus on me, that the identity is never found in the miracle. Because when you say, I saw this, or I am this, that's perfect. I always say that. That's perfectly normal to say, but the I always adds an identity. Whereas the I should be in him. That's why Jesus said, I am. He knew who he was. He was positioned towards God, and he never put his identity in stuff. He always put his identity in the Father, and out of that place, everything overflowed. Out of that place was the great signs and wonders, and out of that place was where everything just blew up everywhere he went, because he was attached to love. And love will do things that were, like, love, relationship with the Father will do things that religion can never break open. You know, see, I could have preached the gospel at that girl for hours and hours and hours, and she could have just been like, yeah, heard it all before, sorry. But God loves people, and once we know that we are sons, we know that they are daughters, we know that they are sons, we know that they are lost versions of us. And we get to go, hey, God has a plan for you, and this is it. And I just feel like there's a whole new level of that opening up, because I feel like you're going into whole new levels of intimacy. But let me just, this is all over the place. but I suppose I kind of want to share, actually, this comes from just an encounter I had. I want to share my encounter into intimacy with the Father, because you see, I'm only a Christian 4.5 years. And God just brought me into a crazy level of intimacy with him. And now I'm getting to travel the world with some of my heroes in the faith. When I first got saved, I was watching Finger of God and all this, Todd White doing all this stuff, all this amazing stuff breaking out. My parents used to hear me in my room watching these videos for hours. They're like, what are you doing up there? I'm like, I'm just experiencing God. It's beautiful. And I was seeing all this stuff, but now I'm actually getting to experience it. And just a little bit about my life. I kind of grew up a Christian, but I grew up in a really religious church, and they used to, like, it was just really tough to be anything other than what they put on you, you know, no freedom, nothing. So I ended up doing drugs. I ended up in drugs and a gang lifestyle at the age of 12 or 13, 13, I think. I ended up doing drugs. I ended up partying every weekend. I ended up in this just really deep, dark place in my life. And that carried through. I got more involved in gang activity the whole way up my life. By the time I was 18, I had nearly died once by drugs. Another was by threat on my life by one of the biggest gang members around. I was in this hopeless place. Then I moved. I stopped hanging out with all these gang members because I got to this place where I was just so empty and lost, and I knew I was going to be shot or in prison. So it's like, I'm out of here. So I started hanging out with these other guys, and the same thing happened again. The same pattern happened again, where I ended up hanging out with these drug dealers, gang members. I ended up being in this, I ended up being a debt collector for the government. So if you didn't pay your taxes, I'd come and take all your stuff. I ended up in this really dark place. And I just got to this place where I was like, God, I can't go on. I can't live without you. If you're real, you need to show up, because I can't live without you. And God just came in power. He brought a person into my life. She said to me, she's a person I really respected. She says, you need to come to a prophetic conference. God is going to move in your life. And I said, I'm hungry for it. I'm coming. Where is it? You tell me, I'll come. So I went to this prophetic conference. And one thing that's important to know is I spent years speaking lies over myself. I'd look in the mirror every morning and I'd be like, you are a horrible person. You are disgusting. You've done this. You've done that. How can you even live? All this sort of stuff. I'd speak over myself in the mirror. It was horrible. I'd be like, you know, because I used to get in a lot of trouble. I'd be like, you did this. You're such a horrible human being. All this sort of stuff. But then God completely switches that around, because how I got saved was through a prophetic word where someone spoke truth and life over me. And I went into this room and I felt the presence of the Father, and it just fell over me. And I hadn't experienced this for so long, because drugs take away your emotions. So I walked into this room and I felt the love of the Father fall over me. And I was like, what is this? What's this watery stuff in my eyes? What is going on? And the guy started to speak truth, and there was life on his words. They weren't just words, but there was life on their words. And I knew this guy had a relationship with God. It wasn't just talk. And so I went in and he spoke, and then he prophesied over every person. And they were all people that I knew from when I was younger. And he spoke life over each and every one of them. And he spoke truth. I knew them. He spoke exact truth into their life. And then he got to me and he opened his mouth. And I was like, on the ground, crying. My whole family were around. And God just rocked me like a hurricane, as Ben would say. And what happened was, there was just such a spirit of sonship that came into me that it just rocked my world. And I was transformed from that very moment. I gave up drugs straight away. And I started walking into this life of supernatural, because I got saved supernaturally. And what actually happened was, it's like in Psalm 119, verse 130, it says, the entrance of your words gives life. It gives understanding to the simple. And truth had pierced my heart, and presence had filled my soul. And what happened was, it cracked me open, because when we have truth on our words, it pierces people. When we know that we believe what we're saying, the light of God just pierces someone's heart and goes in. And that's why it's so important to really live the gospel out. That's why it's so important to walk out what we're believing, rather than just experiencing it and then just putting it down, but actually letting it into every part of our lives. And that's really what I've been learning. And you see, now I'm an evangelist. I mean, I can't be put in a box. I just want to live like Jesus, and he was everything. But I'm an evangelist now, because I love to spread the gospel. But I used to be petrified of it. After I got saved, it was crazy. I used to have this boldness. I used to have a real boldness before I was saved, because I used to be a drug dealer and stuff like that. So I used to be really tough. You should see my picture. I look completely different. But I used to be really tough, really stern. But then I was afraid. I was afraid to talk to anyone about the gospel. I couldn't do it. I was completely petrified. But that's because I hadn't experienced. I had become a son, but I hadn't become a son up here. I'd experienced what it was like to be a son, but I hadn't become a son up here. And I was trying to walk out this gospel, but I was so afraid of it, and I was keeping it out here. And I went to Bethel, and see, I went to Bethel for the supernatural, because I'd been hearing about it and I'd been seeing it manifest in my life. But what I actually found was a loving Father. And that's when everything started to change. That's when we know we serve a loving Father, that's when everything changes in our life. That's when the gospel starts becoming real in our life. And that's when I started overflowing into, I don't care what people think. I just want to live this thing. I just want to see the gospel manifest everywhere I go. I just want to see the presence of God flow everywhere I go, because that's how Jesus positioned himself. See, he couldn't do anything without first positioning himself like this. He couldn't do any miracles before saying, I can only do what he does. I can only do what he does. I can only see what he sees. And I feel like too often I was looking here. I was seeing all the problems. And I was becoming the problem, because I could only do what I was seeing. So I was trying to get in all this stuff. And I was like, let me help you with this. I know how to do this. But actually I was doing no help, because my focus was on the problem and not on God. And you see, we have to have our focus up above before we can see the blueprint of heaven invade this earth. We have to just keep, everything overflows out of the intimate place with God. It talks about in Psalm 91, those who dwell in the secret place with the Lord, it's all about protection and being under his wings. Then it talks in Matthew 6, I think it is, it's talking about always going to the secret place before you go to the open. Always praise me in the secret place before you praise me from the pulpit. This isn't the be-all and end-all of Christianity. This is just a place where people come and share. But the be-all and end-all of Christianity is found in his eyes. I had an encounter with God, and this was life-changing. I saw his eyes. That's it. That was the encounter. I was sitting there, and Jesus came to me, and I saw his deep brown eyes, and his eyes, in his eyes was the globe. His right eye was one half of the globe, and his left eye was the other half of the globe, and his eyes started to build up and swirl, and water started coming down his face as he wept for those who are in the earth, who are lost, who don't know him, because in him are his eyes, and we should see the world through his eyes. You see, as sons, we become invisible. We become transparent, so when people, as Christians, when people look at us, they should be able to see straight through us and see the cross behind us. They should be able to see the love of the cross. You see, the cross isn't a beautiful thing. The cross, imagine I was walking around with an electric chair on my neck. That wouldn't be very beautiful, would it? It wouldn't be very nice. But see, that's not what it represents. See, what the cross did was Jesus took something that was so ugly, that was something that would kill people, and he made it the most beautiful thing in the world. He completely transferred it from ashes to beauty. And I feel like that's what I've been on this journey of going through into sonship, is positioning myself so that all people can see through me is him. All people can see that flows out of me is him. And I feel like you guys are on the same journey. And I feel like it's just such an honor to be here and partner with you guys in that and just kind of share. I just really wanted to share a bit of my story of how I got there, because I'm a very simple speaker. I don't share like crazy revelations, but the Lord has told me to do that. He's told me to always keep the simplicity of the gospel the main thing, but there's always a release. So I know that as I speak, there's always a release into great, no matter how much levels of sonship you're walking into or how much of God you're walking into, I know there's a release of more, because he's told me there's always a release when I speak. So I'm believing that today, that as you guys are sitting here, you're going to feel the release of God, and you're going to feel the release into new levels of intimacy and new levels of sonship. So I had had this encounter, and I just started calling out. You see, I was religiously putting my identity in the miracles that I was seeing. And I'm like, I'm a powerful man of God. I'm a powerful evangelist. I'm seeing all this incredible stuff. But my focus was on the world. And then I had this encounter where I saw Jesus' eyes, and my focus completely shifted to him. I felt like for the first time, my mind and my heart had been renewed. You see, when we're born again, we're made new creations, but it hadn't hit me here yet. I knew I was a new creation, but I hadn't experienced my new creation. And what I experienced in that moment of God welcoming me into changing my perspective and my posture from here to here was like what a butterfly experiences or a caterpillar experiences when they become a butterfly. Do you know, a caterpillar, when they go into a cocoon, they completely break down to just the bare molecules. Completely gone. And then they reform themselves, and their heart and their mind are in completely different places to where they were when they were a caterpillar. That's what happened. See, I've been walking in these incredible signs and wonders, but my heart and my mind hadn't been transformed into him. My heart and my mind had changed, but I was still finding my identity in what I was doing rather than finding my identity in him. And I just feel like that's such an important thing to grasp, is everything is the overflow out of that position. That we go, Jesus, change my heart, change my mind. Let me love others. Let me experience your love for others. Let me not just preach this gospel, but let me feel your love for others, God. Let me know what your heart says for them. Let me know what your heart beats for them. Let me experience the fullness of your love for them. And everything changed when I was in that place. You know, UC Davis, I think it was, UC Davis did a test, and they tested 32 heterosexuals that were married in a lover, like they were lovers. They were in a relationship. And what they found was, every single couple, their heartbeat had synced. You see, they discovered that the woman's heart the bride's hearth had synced to the man's hearth, and that they had become in perfect unity with each other. And then they tested each of the pairs with other pairs, and nothing lined up. And I feel like that's what God is doing right now in the body of Christ. As we were talking about this, I feel this alignment coming into place where heaven and earth are aligning, where the heartbeat of heaven is aligning with the church, and the bride is being welcomed back into the heartbeat of heaven to come perfect unity with the heartbeat of heaven. So you don't know the difference between heaven and earth. You see, we say we want heaven on earth, but sometimes we don't experience that, whereas I feel the alignment of God is coming into that place where we are going to feel heaven on earth and we are going to experience heaven on earth, and that our minds and our hearts are going to be so transformed that all we can see is the gospel invading this planet, that we won't see the darkness around us, but we'll only see the light, that we won't see the problems in people's lives, but we'll only see the answer of heaven and the blueprint of heaven over people's lives. And I feel like that's what you guys are walking into right now. I feel like there's a release of just this wisdom of God, this power of the gospel just invading everywhere that you go and every place that you see. And I feel like that each and every one of you has been aligned up with the heartbeat of heaven, and that your hearts, the bride of Christ, has been welcomed into unity with the bride, or with the Father in heaven, the good Father who has good things. And it's out of this place that we're seeing God just move in such incredible ways. You know, I would much rather take the heart of the Father than any breakout of the Spirit. It's just the overflow of seeking intimacy and going into the quiet place and going, God, just touch me. I just want to feel your presence right here. I just want to read your word. And that's what he's been calling me into. I was in the shower a while ago, and it was a few days ago. Oh, no. It was actually a few months ago, but I promise I've had showers since then. But I was in the shower. I call it like heavy revy central right there. You know, like it's God always speaks to me in the shower. I had this body wash, and it was called Peace. And God said to me, Andy, I want you to wash yourself with Peace every morning. And I was like, sweet, yeah. So I wash myself with Peace every morning. And the next week he said, no, Andy, I want you to wash yourself with Peace every morning. And I was like, what do you mean? And what he actually meant was he wanted me to enter into the secret place every morning with him. In Proverbs 5 verse 3, it says, every morning I lay the pieces of myself on your altar and wait for the fire to fall. And he wanted me to go deep in his word, deep in his intimacy, deep in his presence. And from that place, I realized I had all this anxiety. I had all this stuff that was coming up in my life that I didn't realize was taking over me because I was in it. But when I started going deep into his intimacy and deep into his presence as a son, all this stuff started to fall off. All these problems that I was seeing started to go away, and I feel like the answer to every problem just came to be, and he was leading me and guiding me into his word, leading and guiding me into the presence of his being, and he was giving me answers before I even needed them. I went into one of the toughest times of my life in Bethel, which was being away from home. So I'd never been like homesick or anything like that until this year when all my family started getting sick. And I was like, I can't be here. I need to be with them. My nephew got rushed to hospital really urgently. He was in hospital for a long time, and they thought he had meningitis and all this stuff. So we were praying. Then my sister got sick. Then my other nephew got sick. They were all being rushed into hospital. Then my mom, they thought she had a stroke because her whole left side stopped working. Her eyes stopped working. Her legs stopped working. She was falling over, all this stuff. And I felt like there was this turmoil, but there was peace. Because God had welcomed me into it before he knew I'd need it. And I feel like that's what he's welcoming people into. You see, he's welcoming you into the answer before you need it. He's welcoming you into the heart before you know that you need the heart. See, I feel like there's so many things that life throws at us. So many issues, so many burdens, like financial burdens, family burdens. And we feel it, but we don't know we're feeling it until we push into the fullness of who he is every day. And then it starts to fall off. And I feel like then he gave me the answer. And he talked to me then. I could hear his voice so clearly. He goes, where did he bring me? Anyway, it was basically where my mind's gone blank. I forget the name of the guy. Centurion. The centurion came to Jesus and he said, one of my servants is sick. And Jesus said, he said, I'll come. And he goes, you don't need to come. I'm someone who sends out people. I know that you can say and it will be done. And the centurion got healed an hour later. So I just started speaking life over my mom from here. And things just started shifting. Things just started happening. And the answer was given to me before I even knew I needed it. And he's the God of answers. And he's the God who loves to care for his children, loves to sync his heartbeat with ours so that he gives us the answers of heaven before we know we even need them. And I just feel this, honestly, I can't get away from it. I just really can't get away from just welcoming people into greater levels of intimacy with him, because I feel like he's just really wanting to welcome his bride back into his chest where they can hear his heartbeat and sync up with his heartbeat. That they can be in the biggest turmoil that they've ever been in and they can hear the heartbeat of God. That they can be in the midst of the biggest problems and trials that they've ever experienced and still know that their God is loving because he's right here. Have you ever hugged a big tall dude and you just hear their heart? It's like, poof, poof, poof. That's God. That's what God's welcoming us into. And all I did was take a change of posture. All I did was listen to this small whisper saying, come into peace, come into sonship, come into more of me. It just burns you out when you're trying to do it alone. Burns you out when you're trying to do life alone. Ben says there's two people trying to kill you. God and the devil. I know which one I want to kill me. God. I want him to kill me so I can be made new in him. I want him to kill me so I can show the beauty of his creation. So I can show the butterfly that I've become. You see, when you can find beauty in someone, this is something that's really hit me, is finding the beauty in the created. Because once you can find the beauty in the created, you can always point them back to their creator. And there's always a beautiful point in everybody. And I didn't share what I'm doing. In Bethel, I'm one of the outreach pastors-ish. I'm under pastors. There's so many levels out there, I don't even know what I'm called. But I'm running one of the outreach departments in one of the toughest areas in town. And we have people fighting each other, people stabbing each other, killing each other. It's crazy. But God's good. And all we get to do is release the gospel. You see, and we get to hug and kiss the people that nobody wants to know, the smelliest, dirtiest people I've ever seen. And we get to find the beauty in them and show them back to their creator. And we do it every day, and people get brought back into the loving arms of their father from the most broken place every day. Because we're not looking at a person. We're looking at a brother and a sister. You know? I feel like once the church gets that, we'll be in a whole different place. See, the body of Christ can be broken and fractured. The family of Christ can't. See, because we're all one blood. We're all one person. We're all made new in him. And we're all beautiful in him. And we all have the beauty of the Father in us because we're the created. And that's when our problems start to disappear, because we can always... I remember I used to get so annoyed at people. I'd be like, you did this, you did that, you did this, you did that. No. Then Jesus. You see, these issues go aside. Yeah, they've got issues, but you speak to the truth, to the person who they really are, and that overcomes them and pushes all this stuff out. That brings unity. See, I come from Ireland where Christians kill each other. It's known as a place where Protestants and Catholics shoot each other all the time, because it was a war between England and Ireland. Ireland came back to regain their territory, and what had once been a war between two nations had become a war between two denominations, because they were missing love and they were missing the influence of the Father. See, religion without intimacy turns weird. And that's why I love seeing you guys pushing into greater levels of intimacy, because that's where the Father's heart is, and that's where we need to know the Word become flesh as well as the Word, because the Word is a person. The Word is a revelation of God. When you read this Word, you're reading the Spirit of God. You're reading the person, and he's the one that brings clarity to everything that we're reading. Okay, I'm going on a lot here. I'm sorry. So I'd come to this place where I was talking about like the body of Christ, but you see, we are called to be fruitful as the body of Christ. And I always thought of the fruit as one thing, fruit of what I'm seeing, the fruit of what I'm doing. But if you look at an apple tree, the fruit isn't the apples. The fruit is the reproduction of apple trees. So we are called to reproduce sons, reproduce daughters. See, the kingdom advance. Do you know what son means? Son means the builder of generations. So as sons and as the body of Christ, as children of God, we get to reproduce generations and we get to speak into generations that have been broken for so many years and speak God, speak love, speak peace. I talked to my friend Micah. He's on this trip. Some of you may have met him. He's a beautiful man, incredible. 23, married with a child, beautiful guy. And he said to me the other day, it broke me. He goes, Andy, if there's one thing I'd love to do, I'd love to go back and hug the people who saved my, who led my parents to the Lord. Because my family had been in 200 years of no Christians, no faith, and they led us to the Lord. And that started a whole generational domino effect of God, of his presence. And we're supposed to be builders of generations. We're supposed to be going out there and seeing generations transformed. But not only that, generations transformed in our house, generations transformed here. And I just love seeing all the youth here dancing. And it's, we're builders of generations. We're builders of the gospel. We're sons. We're trees that are producing fruit. We're apple trees that are producing apples. But we're not only producing apples, we're producing other trees. And we're seeing them walk into the fullness of God. So then I was like, God, what are you speaking to me about sonship? And he said, Andy, you're a son of light. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5, it says, you are children of light. That's beautiful. Do you know light always casts out darkness? It's amazing. This tattoo says, light in a messenger's eyes brings joy to the heart, and a good word brings health to the bones. You see, people can see the light within us. I was walking in the store the other day, and we were just getting words of knowledge. We were seeing people like set free of stuff. It was great. I walked down. I walked past this dude. The presence of God hit me, and I turned to him and I said, "You're a Christian." And he said, "He was an African guy." He's like, "Yeah," and I said, "I could feel the light coming off you. I could feel the presence of God coming off you," and it stopped me in my tracks, and I felt the presence of God hit me. Started prophesying strength over his ministry, all this stuff that just rose up inside of me. And he goes, do you know, I got a prophetic word yesterday that people were going to start coming to me and speaking strength over me, and that they were going to start speaking strength and surrounding me and strength to my ministry and surrounding my ministry. And in 5.5 years that I've lived here, I've never had anyone come up to me. What are you doing here? I was like, God told me. It was awesome. But you see, I felt the light that was in him. And I feel like too often in my own life, God told me I'm like a house. That if I focus, it says in Matthew 6, actually, I'm going to turn to this because this passage is awesome. Technology has messed up on me a bit, so I'm probably not going to find it on my computer, but I'll find it here. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And God told me, he said, Andy, you are like a house. When you turn your eyes and your affection towards me, you have the opportunity for your whole house to be full of life, your whole body to be full of life, to the point that the only darkness that you can see is when you go up to the windows and look through. See, when I got saved, I was so used to walking in darkness, I didn't know what light was. I've become accustomed to walking in darkness. But then the light of God came and he shone on everything I was doing, and my whole life turned and transformed to be more like him. Well, he said to me, he goes, but you've been turning switches off. You've been turning light switches off. So only some rooms are lit. You see, I was only bringing the gospel to some parts of my life. I was only bringing the gospel to my Christian friends. I was only bringing the gospel to my family. I was only bringing the gospel to different parts of my life. And he said, I want all of you. He says, I want you to turn every single light switch on in your house so that all you know is righteousness and truth. That you can walk down the street and that no darkness can affect you. Your eyes are so focused on me that you will never see darkness around me except for the darkness that I'm about to cut off someone. That you will only see what's on someone's life long enough to pull the trigger, long enough to release my glory. Does this make sense? Do you get what I'm saying? That, you see, I'm an electrician. And I know what it looks like to go into a house that is completely dark and try and fix something. It's impossible. But do you know what I love better than that? Is watching apprentices do it. Because over time, I've realized that the first thing I should do is shine a light on something so I can see what was going on. See, I'd lived my whole life in the darkness, not knowing that I should have brought the light in first. And then when the light came, I was like, oh no, what have I done? Because I'd worked for years on this masterpiece, but I had done it in darkness. And when I turned the light on, it was a mess. And so many people are walking in that. And I feel like I'd watch apprentices come in and they'd be working away in the darkness with their torch on their phone and they'd be like dropping things everywhere. And then I'd just come in with a pre-made light and turn it on. They're like, thanks, man, I've been working for hours on this and it's only going to take me 10 minutes to do it now. You see, when we focus our attention on God, he brings a rapid pace onto something that we've been working on for years. When we welcome God into every part of our life, he brings us into whole new levels on him, things that we've been striving for years and years and years, and he brings them into it like that. It's all about perspective and attention, where it's going, whether we're looking at work as work and just leaving it like that, or whether we're going into the room in our spirit of work and turning on the light and letting God invade, because that's exactly when God starts to move. See, I started welcoming God into every area of my life, and people just started getting rocked by Jesus in every area of my life. People just started experiencing God and asking questions. My drug dealer friends, I ended up sitting in a room full of drug dealers, gang members, government officials, debt collectors, and they all sat around and asked me about Jesus. See, my old life had been transformed, and it had been renewed, but I was still able to go into those places and see God completely transform them and completely turn them around. And I feel like that's the call on this body right here, is to see God infiltrate every part of their life and to open up every part of their lives in intimacy to him and focus their eyes upon him till all they can see is light. And that darkness is such a distant memory that all they can do is cast light on people. Speak light and truth to people, that they are so full of God and so full of the presence that they leak everywhere. See, we are holy people. We fill up and we leak. We need to constantly be bringing ourselves before the Lord every morning. I'm not talking religiously here, but every morning and going, God, fill me. God, give me your presence. God, give me your spirit. I just want to fill you. And it's not so much for us. It becomes less about what can I get from you, but what can I do for you? You see, you want to fill up so you can leak all over everybody around you. You can go to work and they just get Jesus all over them. They just get the presence of God tangibly in them until when they go home, this has happened where they go home and people are like, what's different about you? It's because they're hanging around a Christian. Their life starts to change and people start to notice their life starts to change. That's who we're called to be. We're called to be a light in the darkness, and light always overcasts darkness. It always overtakes darkness, and it always floods, you know? Darkness doesn't stand a chance. And when we speak those words of truth, darkness flees. See, we have the power within us to just see the kingdom of darkness fall. And I feel like this is the time that we need it. I feel like we are coming into alignment as the body of Christ for such a time as this. And he's speaking truth into our lives to get us ready. Because there's so much going on. We have all this stuff going on in the world. ISIS are killing Christians, all this sort of stuff, and I'm not focusing on that. But I'm focusing on him. Because he's bringing us into this whole new level of intimacy because the world needs him greater than they ever have before. And we need to know that he is outside the body of Christ, or like he is outside the four walls of the church. He's wanting to move in people's lives because they're the ones that need it the most. And we need to know that it's not about, you know, striving for it. It's about just turning our affection to him so that we are the light that people see. People go, there's a fragrance about you that I just want. I just need. What is it that's so different about you? That we can speak truth to people. And it's all just based in intimacy with him. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, see, I'd just spent so long trying to hide things. I'd spent so long trying to keep rooms of my body turned off, turned the lights off. There was shame from my past. There was all this sort of stuff. But I come into alignment with the new creation that I've been made, that he had made me. And I just started going into these rooms and switching lights on and getting rid of all this junk so that the only thing that I could do was love. Because, see, all these rooms carried shame. And I feel like Christians can sometimes carry so much shame that they don't need to carry. Because God has set us free from that. And I feel like it had got me so internalized. I'd be looking at myself going, but I don't have the power to see some, I don't have the words to speak to see someone saved. I don't have the words to speak to see someone's life, you know, go from something horrible to something good. I don't have all this. I back when I first got saved, I said something stupid. I constantly be looking at me. I constantly be looking at the problems inside of me. So, see, the enemy will always have you here so you can't see in front of you. You can't see the future before you because you're so stuck in the past and in here. See, the past will hold you away from the future. But looking on him will always bring you into the destiny and the future that he has for you. So I stopped looking at here and I started looking at here, and that's when I started flowing. That's when I started believing I was good enough to see God move. That's when I started seeing love just flow around me. I don't know if this is making sense, but I'm kind of just going solo from my notes because they went all messed up, but it's really what's on my heart. See, I'm living it out rather than just preparing something and speaking it out. I want to just overflow from life and just bring the simple gospel of what we're walking into together, because that's the very thing that will change the world. People don't want to know words. They want to know a lifestyle. They want to see a lifestyle walked out. They want to see Christ walked out before they hear about him. And that's what is changing all my friends' lives back home. That's what's changing people who I used to do drugs with's lives. They're like, you've changed so much. I want to know what you know. I want to experience what you experience. You see, it's just that the body of Christ, it's just so beautiful to watch because we're moving into this place where we're actually walking it out. We're walking it out for the first time in so long. I mean, there's been lots of revivals, but it's become less about the one man and more about the body. You know, it's become more about everybody getting it. Everybody going, hold on a second, this is for us. And we're starting to walk it out. And I just find it so beautiful that we're walking it out. But I also find it so important because we're walking it out in such power to know where our hearts should be, and that's with him. You see, it's so easy to get lost in everything that God's doing instead of getting lost in his heart and in his eyes. So, I feel like I want to sum it up in this. I was like, God, what are you doing? Like, what do you want to speak? And he spoke to me about Gideon. And he spoke to me about Gideon leading the Israelites down to the Midianites. That's it, the Midianites. And you see, the Midianites had 135,000, and Gideon was leading 32,000 Israelites to try and overtake them. And God said to him, no, that's too many people. I won't be glorified enough in that. You need to tell all the ones that are afraid to go home. So Gideon turned to the armies and he said, hey, everyone who's afraid, go home. He was expecting a couple of hundred probably to go home. 22,000 went home. He was left with 10,000. And God said, no, there's still too much. He says, bring them down to the water and let them drink from the water. Whoever drinks like a dog and licks the water to drink, send them home. Whoever kneels down and picks up the water and brings it to their mouth, let them stay and fly. Now, I know there's many interpretations of this. See, someone who goes down to the water can't see the enemy around them. Someone who kneels down and brings it up to them can see what's going on around them. I know there's many things, but I also know that they were postured as sons. See, they weren't licking the water like dogs. They were bringing the water up to them. And they were drinking as the people they knew that they were. And I feel like God is welcoming people into the fullness of knowing who they are in him. And then he said, now you're ready to fight. And see, he told Gideon to tell the army, do exactly as I do. Set your eyes upon me, which is what I feel. I feel like it's such a prophetic thing. That's what Jesus is saying. That's what God's saying. Do exactly as I do. That's all you need to know. All you need to know is my whisper and everything will be okay. No trial, no tribulation, nothing can come your way because you know the intimacy of me. Now they will come, but it's all about how we react to that. Do we react out of his love and out of what he's saying, or do we react out of what the situation, do we let the situation define us, or do we let him? And he took these, there was 300, 300 that stayed. 300 Israelites against 135,000. Are you crazy? I'm not going down there. I would have said that anyway. But he led them down. He said, do exactly as I do. So he gave them a trumpet, he gave them a torch, and he gave them a clay pot. Now, I can only imagine, but they did it in the middle of the night because there was a shifting of guards. Everyone was asleep. So what happened was, I believe that they cupped the torch with their pot and made it the whole way down to the tent with their trumpets around their neck. And then Gideon said, when I say go, smash your pots and blow your trumpet. So Gideon said, go. So they smashed their pots, blew their trumpet, and revealed their life. And what happened was the enemy got so scared that they all started to kill each other. And then they fled. 135,000 against 300. You see, we might be the outnumbered as Christians. It might not be, you know, when I was younger, it might not be so cool to be a Christian and all this. But when we're following the example of God, we can overtake any enemy. One Christian is always the majority. One Christian full of God's presence is always the majority against any spirit of darkness. You see, I feel like God, there's two things that I feel like he's doing. That represents is, I feel like God is smashing the pot off the church so that their flame is fully revealed, so that the enemy doesn't know what to do except for go against itself and run away. I also feel like there's something prophetic in that we can get so close to a problem and then we just reveal our life. You know, I feel like there's times where we go in undercover and then we're just like, explode glory, you know. But there's also times where we need to not be putting a pot on our flame. And we need to let God into every area of our life and let God flow through every single area of our life, whether it be work, family, whatever. You see, we just can't hide God. We just can't hide Christianity because he's right here. He's in us. So this just really rocked me in the fact that I feel like there's things in people's lives where in this room, where it feels like they're fighting an army of 135,000 and they're only 300. And I feel like God's got the perfect plan. I feel like God is wanting to release the perfect plan to you, and I feel like he's just welcoming people into greater levels of intimacy with him. And out of that place, the fire of God is just going to flow. I feel like there's an outbreak of greater levels of revival in this room. I feel like there's an outbreak of greater levels of his presence and greater levels of the supernatural breaking out. But I just feel like there's a moment right now where you can just welcome him into greater levels of your heart, greater levels of intimacy in here, and open every single door in your house and say, God, just invade. I just want to live fully for you. I just want to see you just fully fill me up so all I can do is leak you. All I want is a hunger for more of you. All I want is a hunger for more of your presence. And I feel like the church is getting hungrier for God. I see this hunger building in the body of Christ, and I feel like there's just this hunger growing in people. And I feel like he's bringing us into new places with that hunger, but also he's killing. I feel like he's bringing us to new levels, but he's killing those new devils. Does that make sense? You know, no longer do we have to say new levels, new devils. New levels in him means less devils. And I feel like he's bringing us into new levels in him. And in our lives, he's just going to manifest in every area till there's no devil left. I feel like as we're welcoming him into our whole life and cracking that pot open and smashing it on the ground, that every enemy that has been trying to attack us is going to flee. And I just feel this intimacy that he's welcoming us into, this whole new level of intimacy that honestly I feel like it's been untouched for so long. I feel like there's been an untouched intimacy with God that the church hasn't tapped into, and I feel like he's welcoming this body into it. I feel like he's welcoming the body of Christ into it because he's breaking out. He's looking for those who want to say a full out yes to him, and he'll give you a full out yes to you. See, you're giving him all of him, you're giving him all of you, and he's giving you all of him. So I just feel like there's a release in this room. I think that looks like worship. Is that okay? Yeah, I feel like you're supposed to play over us. It's great because I saw breakthrough in the room, and I feel like he's welcoming us into this place of just giving him your all. And it doesn't have to look like, I don't know what, you decide, but I just feel like there's this place where he's welcoming us into this place of giving him our all and saying an all-out yes to him and saying, God, I want you to invade every part of my life, because I feel like he's just wanting to move in every area of your life. If there's a sickness in your life, if there's a problem that you feel like, it feels like 135,000 are coming against you, now's your time. I feel like he's taking these burdens off people and he's releasing hope. A hope that doesn't disappoint, and he's releasing the light of God into every situation in our lives. Yeah. Yeah. I just feel like this is your time to shine. I feel like this is your time, as I can't hammer this home enough, to just give him your all and give him every situation. Yeah. Yeah, so I just see this. Just position yourself. Position yourself for him. And just give him everything and receive all of him. I feel like he's just wanting to give you greater levels of him right now, and just this push into his heart. I'm not saying you're not already there. I'm just saying there's always more. In everything I've been saying tonight, I'm not saying you're already there. I'm not wanting to get religious about reading this or doing that. I'm not getting religious. I'm just saying he's welcoming us into greater levels of intimacy and greater levels of him. And in that place, everything flows with him. In that place, he makes all things align with the Christ, the cornerstone. The cornerstone means that every brick lines up to that one brick. So I feel like there's this alignment on heaven and earth, and he's aligning us to the cornerstone of Christ. That every situation in our life right now, we're going to speak over every situation in our life, and it's going to line up with the cornerstone of Christ. That we're going to welcome him into every part of our heart, every part of our body, and he is going to shine through every part of our heart, every part of our body. He's going to shine into our workplaces. He's going to shine into our finances. He's going to shine into the places that we never wanted to give him before, those shameful places, so that we can be fully transparent, and that when someone looks at us, all they can see is the cross. I feel like it's a time to just break that pot open and let that light shine, no matter what it looks like internally. I feel like he's taking it all and he's releasing it all. Yeah, yeah. We just praise you, Jesus. We just thank you that you are in this room, Father. We just thank you that you are ministering in this room, that your angels are here, God. I thank you that you are laying hands on people as we speak, Father. I thank you that you are bringing us into whole new levels of you, that we can just overflow. I thank you that you aren't giving just one gifting, but you're giving us all of you, and in that place, all of the giftings flow. Yeah, I thank you that you're bringing us closer to the unity of you, and that you're bringing this body into alignment with the cornerstone of Christ. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, and I just saw this picture of people, whatever it looks like, but dancing. I mean, I feel like there's this intimate romance here, and I feel like it's kind of this slow dance. I don't feel like it's this like jumping up and down, but I feel like there's also a release to just move with the Father over everything and just dance over every part of your life that you don't want, and dance with him into every part of your life that you do want. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.